This is very exciting. We have some students here that are going to be watching us, and I think they're also going to testify. Are you guys going to testify today? Good. Okay. We are going to be introducing some bills, which is pretty unusual. This is the Senate Rules Committee, and we'll be one of the few committees that will be open until the end of session. And as we're starting to wrap up the session, we have to introduce some key bills, and one of those bills is the sign-e-die resolution.
Can we move it out today?
No, we can't.
What is sign-e-die until further notice without a day.
Okay. Until further notice without a day, we would be adjourned if we were to pass that. We're not going to pass it today, but I think you're hearing how excited everyone is that we're actually introducing the bill. And what are the other LCs we've got? LC 3877, declaring May 8th of each year as Mental Health Awareness Today. And LC 3900, relating to the Oregon State Capital Foundation Fund. Looks like transferring dollars. So I'm going to open a work session for the purpose of introducing committee measures. We have a couple of two members here that we're just delighted to have. Senator Cruz from Roseburg, welcome. And Senator Avakian from Beaverton is here. They're both new members, so welcome. We are going to be very sad to miss both Senator David Nelson and Senator Betsy Johnson. Would either one of you like to say a couple of words?
Nope, just glad to be off the bench and on the team.
Okay, great. Senator Cruz?
Madam Chair, it's going to be a pleasure to serve on a committee that you're actually on after all the work we've done over the years.
Great,
together.
Good, this will be fun. And we're going to be working your little tails off, Senator Farrell, yours included, until the end of session. So one of the reasons we made this switch was timing, so we'll be able to meet during the day and not at weird hours. So, all right, we are in a work session for introducing committee members. The chair would move LCs 3877, 3900, and 3907 be introduced as committee bills. Any discussion? Any objection? Senator Farrell? Objections? Do you want me to call
I hate roll? These bills, or one of these bills, Madam Chair. But I'm
do you want me to call the rolls?
No.
Okay.
Without
all right.
Objection, Madam Chair.
There's seeing no objection, and motion carries. Thanks, everybody, for your courtesies. And we get those bills introduced, and that's pretty exciting. All right. Let's open a public hearing on. Do you have SCR 18? We have a sign-up sheet. We have a sign-up sheet. 18? No sign-up sheet. Okay. All right. Let's do a public hearing on SCR 18. Marjorie, why don't you tell us what we've got in front of us?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, SCR 18 congratulates the Pygmies for winning the 2007 First LEGO League First Place Champions Award at the LEGO League World Festival. And you have the -1 amendment, which makes some technical changes to the resolution.
Great.
Madam Chairman, are you telling me we couldn't get the Pig Mice Memorial Bill right the first time?
Senator Perioli, I don't know what to put in the amendment.
I'm sorry, it makes minor technical changes to the amendment, to the resolution.
In the resolution. Is there anybody from the team of Pig Mice that would like to come up and tell us what we've got and why we need to pass this resolution?
Cool.
All right. Did you get lessons on how to testify in front of a committee?
No.
No. Okay. It's pretty easy. You just need to tell us your names, and we'd like to tell us where you're from, what schools you guys are going to, and why you think we should pass this resolution, and if you would tell us a little bit about the project you worked on and the contest. I know, but I'm not sure all of my committee members know, so that would be really helpful.
All right. So I'm Nathan Fuller, and I go to Winter Haven, and... This is...
I'm Flannery Bethel, and I also go to Winter Haven.
Great.
And so what we did in Atlanta was we competed out of 94 teams, the best 94 teams in the world, at LEGO Robotics. And these were teams from everywhere from Jordan to China, Japan.
There were teams from... Standing teams from Europe?
Yeah, Mexico, and...
UK, Canada.
Yeah, totally.
So teams were from all over the world.
And 39 states also from the United States. competed there.
Wow. And can you tell us a little bit about the whole, what you do? And I know you were down here, the pig mice were here earlier this session, and you had a demonstration project, but I'm not sure everybody saw it, so.
So basically what we do is we build a robot using what's called an NXT, which is basically the robot's mind, and we use a USB cord to download programs that we create on the computer into the robot to complete certain tasks on the table.
And it's important to remember that we build this robot out of purely LEGO components, and the electronics are supplied by LEGO. And every team's robot is different. We're not using, the only thing that's the same are the electronic components.
Wow. And you guys have worked together for how many years?
The pig mice themselves have been a team for 4 years. We went from 8 boys our first year to 4 boys the next year. And then in our third year, one of our team members quit, and we decided that we wanted a co-ed team. And that's when we took on these three great girls that we have on our team right now.
Great. And they were obviously, were all the teams co-ed that were competing at the the World Championship? Oh.
Actually, a lot of boy teams, but there were also several only girl teams.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's not many, very few girls compete in robotics.
Yeah.
It's pretty rare.
Sad.
Can you tell us why you think girls don't compete in robotics?
I don't know. I just think people are thinking stereotypically that it's robotics. Boys are smarter than girls, so they have to do it and we don't. But that's totally not it. I just think that girls should be able to do whatever boys can do.
Okay. And do you agree with that?
I totally agree with that. I mean, these...
Good answer! Good answer!
These three girls came on, and they learned a new programming language. They've learned how to build robots from scratch. They were on a learning curve that first year that would have stumped most people, and the fact that we pulled through and were the second best team in the state that year is amazing, and that's incredible that we were able to do that.
That's very amazing. Committee members, any questions? Senator Avakian.
No, some of the committee members may already know this. I'm sorry I don't, but I don't understand the pig mice thing. And so I think I need to know what that means.
Okay, so we all went to fifth grade together. We all went to the same elementary school, which they closed that our graduating year. But during those years, we went on a lot of field trips on the bus and stuff, and we needed something to take up our time. So some of the boys invented a naming game that we would play on the bus, and it turned out to be the pig mice game. And so that's how we got our name.
There it is.
Senator Cruz, any questions?
Actually, Madam Chair, what they've been talking about is so far beyond me that I don't know. I mean, I'm just incredibly impressed by the technical knowledge of young people today, and it's we hear so much, especially in this building, about problem youth, and it's just so refreshing to see youth that are actually excelling. And you need to be congratulated on your effort and the fact that you have stuck with it. I'm very impressed.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Other questions? Senator Farrioli.
Oh, Madam Chair, these are problem youth. I'm going to have trouble keeping these kids occupied and busy. It's a challenge. I see that we have a reference here to the name, genetically enhanced sewer rats that dwell in the garbage disposal. Explain what that is, please, Madam Chair.
Well, we kind of, in our quest to figure out the pig origination, is that a word?
Yeah.
Of the pig name pig mice, it kind of evolved because the story I just told is a very truthful story, but it's not as interesting, and when you're in a big crowd, people don't want to listen to, it's a naming game that we made up on the bus, blah, blah, blah. So that was one of the many forms of a pig mice legend that they tried to come up with.
Well, as we all know, when the legend becomes fact, print the legend.
Yes.
And amazingly, you would be surprised to know, I think, how often that principle applies to things we do in this building. So, stick, you know, if the real story isn't as interesting, tell the other story. I think that it's just astounding. Do you attribute your success to good coaching, or is the team sort of becoming its own coaching mechanism? Is there a synergy going on, or, you know, how did you
or were you off? Winning before half the team was girls? Because that's what I heard. Half the team's girls now.
I think that it's important to remember that these teams are, if you're not, your teammates aren't driven, and the actual team members aren't driven, no matter how good your coach is, you can't do it. But without an incredible coach, you also can't get there, because we need support, hours, supervision.
And someone to totally and very, very much devote a lot of their time to this. I mean, Greg and Cassie, who isn't here, but they have devoted so much of their time just to make sure that we are learning, that we're under control. To make sure we're getting things done. So without them, that we wouldn't get anywhere.
Yeah, and I think that before we had the girls and it was just our four boys, we had we were the rookie team in the state. We were the best team it was their first time at state, which was great for us, and we felt incredibly thrilled with that. But the fact is that we weren't going to go anywhere. If we kept competing, we wouldn't be the same team. And what really puts us apart when you look at all these other teams is the teamwork that we have together, and the fact that kind of stuff.
We're not just teammates, but we're really good friends.
And you guys have been friends for a while now.
Yeah.
I've known some of these people on this team since I was two.
Wow.
I want stock options, Madam Chair. Kids are going far.
Sarah Montes Anderson, any questions?
No, I just remember when my son would be playing with Legos. I mean, and I would even enjoy building things with him. So, but the fact that it's now gotten into robotics, that's incredible. And I do remember reading about your accomplishments in the paper.
I was looking at my watch, and I was trying to think, you guys got to skip school to be here this afternoon, but you were probably done with school and then came down. Is that right?
Yeah, we kind of had a field day today at our school.
Okay. So. We were just throwing water balloons at each other all day.
Oh, great, great. That really helps us make a case for more money for schools.
Physics, Madam Chair.
Exactly. When do you guys get out of school? What's the date?
3.
Oh,
the date, June 15th.
June 15th.
Okay. We're going to go ahead and pass the resolution out today, and maybe we need to work with your parents to see if you can either come down in a late afternoon session, or wait until after school ends before we pass the resolution on the floor, because we'd like to have all of you down here with us when we pass the resolution on the Senate floor. So this is an incredible honor, not only for folks in Portland, but Oregon, for you all to do this amazing feat. So we're really, really impressed, and we look forward to working with you, and you guys are going to be taking over our seats in the not-so-near future.
I'm sure.
Sarah Ferriello.
This is the best testimony we're going to hear all day.
I think it's been all session, Sarah Ferriello. Do you have any questions for us?
No, I just wanted one thing to point out, was that that one of the things is all these robots are completely autonomous. Nobody has a remote control. Mm-hmm. And only the younger kids do this, not the older kids. The older kids get to drive their robots. And so if you look at the older robots, they're not as complex as some of the younger kids' robots, because these kids, there are 9-year-olds that are programming robots to international competitions, and that's really incredible.
Wow. So you're Nathan and Flannery, right? Is Morgan here? And Keegan? And Haley? Is it Haley?
Hallie.
Okay, Hallie. And who else? Olivia? Thanks, you guys. We really appreciate your incredible feat. That's really amazing. So we'll look forward to having you back on the Senate floor in a few weeks. So
thank you.
Anybody else want to testify on this very important resolution? Okay, I'm going to cut off the public hearing at this point and move us into work session. We have the Dash 1 amendments, which provide some technical information that we apparently got incorrect when we printed the bill. The chair would move the Dash 1 amendments to SCR 18. Any discussion? Any opposition? Not seeing any. Motion carries. Chair would move the bill to the resolution to the Senate floor with the due pass resolution recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Hearing and seeing none. Looks like you got a unanimous vote coming out of committee. We'll look forward to seeing you guys on the Senate floor. So thanks for joining us today.
All right. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Senator Farrelly. Do you want to move? I'll carry on. We've got Representative Tomei, you're here on House Bill 2466. Let's open a public hearing on that. What do you need? Oh, Marjorie will tell us about the bill, and Senator Farrelly, you have the gavel.
Thank you.
I know, but...
Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee, House Bill 2466 permits Gladstone, Milwaukee, and Oregon City to operate photo radar. It specifies requirements for operation of the photo radar and permits the Department of Transportation to operate photo radar in highway work zones. You have the Dash 9 amendment that I'm sure Andrea Meyer will be happy to talk to you about that just clarifies that jurisdictions using the photo radar have to comply with the specific requirements for use.
Representative Tumay, would you care to enter and sign in, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, I am Carolyn Tumay, State Representative from House District 41, representing the City of Milwaukee and parts of Southeast Portland. And Senator Brown is my senator. It's a pleasure to be here and introduce House Bill 2466 dealing with photo radar. This bill represents the work of many hours from the House Transportation Committee, and it comes from the House with wide bipartisan support. It has three distinct components. Section 1 adds the cities of Milwaukee, Gladstone, and Oregon City to the list of communities authorized to use photo radar for traffic enforcement. As the former mayor of Milwaukee, I know firsthand that growth in these communities and in the surrounding areas has made increased traffic and speed a major problem. Moreover, budgetary constraints have further hampered traffic enforcement. Some of my city officials, actually my city chief is here. They've asked to join other cities to be allowed to use photo radar to slow traffic and increase safety on the roads. Regulations in the bill specify that photo radar in these communities may not be used for more than 4 hours per day in any one location, may not be used unless a sign is posted announcing that photo radar is in use, and regular evaluations must be presented to the legislature describing the effect on traffic safety, degree of public acceptance, and the process of administration. Section 1 also deals with the new provision about the placement of photo radar warning signs. On page 2, line 6, we've included the additional provision that the signs must be placed at least 2 feet above ground level to increase visibility. The remaining part of the bill authorizes the Department of Transportation to operate photo radar in highway work zones. This is a very important component in the bill. Department officials will be testifying as to the details of this proposal. I just want to emphasize that speeding in work zones is a very serious problem, which endangers not just the workers, but also other vehicles. The last 5 years in Oregon have averaged 9 traffic fatalities in work zones. Photo radar can be a valuable tool to increase safety. This is a good bill, and I urge you to pass it out of committee with a due pass recommendation. I know Ms. Meyer is here to talk about the Dash A amendment, and I am in support of it will make this bill a better bill.
The A9 amendment?
The A9, isn't that right? Ms. Meyer? Yes.
Questions from the committee? Hearing and seeing none. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, committee.
I'd like to call forth Mr. Kanzler, Milwaukee PD. And then we'll have a panel after Mr. Kanzler testifies. Welcome.
Good evening. Almost evening, I guess, isn't it? It depends on when we all started. First, let me introduce myself. For the record, my name is Larry Kanzler. I'm the chief of police for the city of Milwaukee. I want to thank Representative Tomei for introducing this bill on our behalf and the support that Senator Brown has provided. And I'm going to provide a very on-point testimony for you regarding our need and our desire to have photo radar and photo traffic enforcement available for the citizens of Milwaukee. Before I start my testimony, I've been in law enforcement now for 41 years and have served in large cities like the city of Portland to very small communities like Toledo, Oregon, and currently I've been the chief in Milwaukee for the last 8 years. With that, Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Larry Kanzler. I'm the chief of police for the city of Milwaukee, and I'm here to speak in support of House Bill 2466 as it pertains to the city of Milwaukee, which permits the use of photo traffic enforcement by the city of Milwaukee. My business address is 3200 Southeast Harrison, Milwaukee, Oregon. As most of you are aware, the city of Milwaukee shares its northern boundary with the city of Portland. And as a result, Milwaukee residents experience the same traffic and crime problems experienced by Portland residents. The number one complaint I receive from the community is speeding through our neighborhoods, school zones, and traffic diverting from State Highways 99, which is also known as McLaughlin Boulevard, and Highway 224, in and through our neighborhoods. Milwaukee is bisected by two major arterials, Highway 224 and Highway 99. Every day, more than 80,000 commuters travel through Milwaukee on their way to and from their destinations. During the rush hours, traffic diverts through the neighborhoods in search of less congested routes to their destinations, and speed is an issue as motorists try to make up for lost time caused by traffic congestion. There are 9 public and private schools that serve our community. The cut-through traffic from Highways 99 and 224 frequently coincides with school crossing times. Many of the complaints I've received focus on speed of traffic through our school zones. Our motorcycle officers have issued traffic citations on Highway 99 for speeds in excess of 90 miles an hour in a posted 45 mile an hour speed zone. Highways 99 and 224 are also the primary routes for more than 50% of accidents that occur in Milwaukee. The primary cause of these unusually serious injury accidents is speed and failure to stop at red lights and red light controlled intersections. There were more than 300 traffic crashes in Milwaukee in 2006, with more than 150 of those crashes occurring on Highway 99 and 224, with the majority of those serious injury accidents occurring on Highway 99 itself. The police department has focused our efforts to try to reduce the speeds drivers are traveling by deploying patrol cars to these major arterials. However, because of the narrow parking lanes and the inability of drivers to merge to avoid police traffic enforcement stops, it places our officers in a very dangerous position. During the past year, the Milwaukee Police Department has had 3 marked patrol cars struck by passing motorists while the officers were stopped on the shoulder of the highway with their emergency lights activated. The most recent accident occurred on April 2007, totaling the police car and injuring the officer. Fortunately, the officer is scheduled to be released to return to duty by his doctor the 1st of June. I have attached a picture of the damaged police car as part of this testimony. The Milwaukee Police Department is comprised of 31 officers and supervisors and provides a full-service police department responding to more than 24,000 incidents in 2006. And although we have been successful reducing the Portland crimes by 28%, last year we have not been able to effectively address community traffic concerns. In response to community traffic complaints, the police department deploys 2 dedicated traffic motorcycles to respond to identified and potential traffic problems. The 2 motorcycles work diligently, but the scope of the traffic problems are well beyond their capacity to mitigate, try as they may. Frequently, I've heard the hue and cry to hire more dedicated traffic officers. My response is similar to that of many cities who struggle with budget problems. The city doesn't have a budget base large enough to support more officers without reducing other city staff. The option is to reduce the operational budget of libraries or public works, etc. And I'm sure you can see where this trend leads. Pretty soon, Milwaukee
is just a single-service community. We do only police work. To hire, equip, train other traffic officers is an estimated cost of $100,000, which will most assuredly result in a reduction of other positions within the city. Fortunately, there is a way for the city of Milwaukee that can address these traffic-related problems, and that's through the use of technology. Photo radar and photo red light traffic enforcement is the answer. Discussions regarding the use of this technology started more than 4 years ago, and our previous attempts to get legislative change to authorize Milwaukee's use of this technology failed to get out of committee during the last legislative session. The leadership of Milwaukee clearly supports the use of this technology. The Milwaukee City Council adopted Resolution 7-2007 on February the 6th of this year, supporting the use of photo traffic enforcement. A copy of this resolution is attached. The Milwaukee Public Safety Committee, a committee comprised of residents from each of Milwaukee's neighborhoods and sanctioned by the Milwaukee Municipal City Code, also supports the use of this technology. On March 8th, Milwaukee City Manager Mike Swanson testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee supporting the use of photo traffic enforcement technology. I have included a copy of his testimony. I urge you to support House Bill 2466 with amendments with a due pass recommendation to the Senate. Photo red light enforcement and traffic radar enforcement would supplement our efforts to meet the safety challenges that face us now and into the future. The projected growth of South Clackamas County will only cause the traffic volume through our community to increase. If we fail to apply every technological advantage we can to reduce speeds and heighten traffic safety awareness, our neighborhoods will become more dangerous with the forecasted higher traffic volumes. Your support is critical to helping us solve this community-wide problem and while at the same time maintain the balance of our citywide service effort. The City of Milwaukee is very much aware of photo traffic enforcement public notice requirements stated under ORS 810-434 through 810-438 and are committed to the proper administration of this program. Finally, even though the statutes create a presumption that the registered owner of the vehicle was its operator when the citation was issued, it is a presumption that, if wrong, is easily reversed without a court appearance by filling out a certificate of innocence. It appears to me that the legislature exercised great care to ensure that photo red light enforcement and photo radar do not unfairly intrude on individual rights. I thank you for your time and consideration, and I offer this testimony respectfully.
Thank you, Chief Kanzler. Any questions from the committee? Hearing and seeing none, thank you very much. Let's bring up Andrea Meyer. And then we'll bring up Matt Garrison and Jessica Adamson afterwards. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair, members of the committee. Andrea Meyer, Legislative Director for the ACLU of Oregon. The ACLU generally has some concerns about photo radar, but I'm here for... unless pressed, just for other reasons, with the A9 amendments to fix the law. And I want to explain what the fix and why you need the fix in the law, and which is why I've provided you the law together so that you can follow what has transpired with the Court of Appeals case. If you look at the first page of ORS 810-438, you will notice, and I think Representative Tomei talked about the fact that after it lists the jurisdictions, it lists requirements. When it can be used, and it lists a bunch of requirements onto the next page. And if you would turn to the next page, you'll see that list continues. And then you'll see ORS 810-439. And it starts out with, notwithstanding any other provision of the law, in the jurisdictions using photo radar, it then lists additional, I think, seven criteria of what a jurisdiction must do before it issues, including where the equipment is and the sign display and everything. So what happened was that in 2002, the Oregon Court of Appeals held that because 439 starts with the language notwithstanding any other provision of the law, that the requirements set forth in point 438 are not necessary. They don't have to be met for issuance. As the court said, ORS 439 declares, notwithstanding any other provision of the law, only 7 enumerated conditions are required for the issuance of a valid speeding citation based on a photo radar evidence. That means that, regardless of what any other provision of the law, including ORS 810-438, may say to the contrary, only the enumerated 7 conditions are required for the issuance of valid speeding citations. Now, I think that most jurisdictions operating this probably do comply with the requirements and should comply, but they don't have to. And what the A9s do is, if you look at those, it goes to ORS 810-439, the statute that says notwithstanding and listing the criteria, and then it adds a new section. So it lists the 7 criteria plus the jurisdiction operating the photo radar complies with the requirements described in 810-438. So it ties back to the requirements that are in 810-438 and makes it clear that we expect a city to comply with both 438 and 439. Senator Watkins just followed that. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. Good amendment, do pass. So this is just an opportunity that's finally here to make clear and fix the law, and I hope you would do that. I appreciate Representative Tomei's statement that she said this made it a better bill, and I think it complies with everyone's expectation of what they're supposed to do under the law. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions and urge you to adopt these little amendments.
Questions from the committee? Seeing none.
Thank you. Senator Vakian, do you... I didn't have written testimony, so...
I'll do the best I can to keep up. Yeah. Thanks.
Okay.
You can catch him in the hallway.
I will. Thank you.
I'd like to bring forth Matt Garrett and Jessica Adams. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, I'm Matt Garrett. I'm the director of the Oregon Department of Transportation. It's my privilege to be here. I'll be very brief. I think the specifics of the bill have been covered. This is significant, and I think the best presentation or testimony I could give would be literally suit you up in safety vests and put you on in a work zone, because I believe one's disposition is influenced very quickly by being out there in the field. But without that, I will say this bill comes forward with a lot of work by the valued partners of the Associated General Contractors and Oregon State Police. I believe we bring a very disciplined bill. We bring a bill at a time where the peak construction volumes are at their highest because of the Oregon Transportation Investment Act, and that means there's exposure to the traveling public, exposure to the men and women of ODOT, exposure to the construction community. This is a known technology. This technology is a complement, as the chief said, it is a complement to law enforcement. We believe with this bill, we will make the roadways safer, and we will make it safer for those men and women who are improving the transportation infrastructure. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'll stand down.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, Jessica Adamson with Associated General Contractors here in strong support of this bill that we, like the director, agree will help make our roadways safer, particularly for construction workers who are out there in the middle of the night with folks that are using excessive speed, driving through work zones that have constant changing conditions, different lighting, and folks working really feet away from barrier, and from my contractors tell me stories about making phone calls in the middle of the night to families because their loved one has been injured out on the job site from a car coming through the barrier, from a drunk driver, primarily from folks speeding. Those are very difficult stories to hear. I would imagine those phone calls are even more difficult to make. From our viewpoint, anything that we can do to get folks to slow down through those work zones, drive safely, those are the things that we need to do to keep Oregonians safe, for the drivers, for the workers, and to make sure that we can continue to improve our roads with a strong commitment and safe workplace.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Troy Costales. I'm the manager of the Safety Division for the Oregon Department of Transportation. A few elements to the bill to call forward that have not been previously mentioned. First, this is a pilot project. It does have a sunset on it of December 31st, 2014. The reason for the window is because we would need to make sure we have equipment and adequate signing and a correct spot, because one of the things we have to do is bring back to you in the odd numbers years in March a report on how this program is operating under the current requirements and statute. This is not to be allowed on the interstate. It is only to be operated in situations where there are workers present. The testimony that Mr. Garrett gave you also has a diagram in the back just to show you what it would look like as far as a simple view of. There will be three signs that an individual will see if they're going through a particular place, and they will get adequate warning to allow them to slow down. More than enough space presented by those signs, and based on the speed of the road is how far apart those signs are. The higher the speed, the farther the signs are apart, so that gives the person adequate time to reduce their speed if they happen to be out of compliance. We will employ the resources of current cities that are allowed to operate photo radar or the Oregon State Police. We're not allowed to offer this up to some other agency or operate the units ourselves. It's to be done by sworn law enforcement personnel. All of the particulars about how the process works, mailing to the defendant within 6 days, their ability to provide a defense, and the way that process works all stay. There's no new process. It's all using current law as passed by this body in previous sessions. ODOT will cover the entire cost of the program, which includes the equipment, if needed, and the officer's time, and that comes through our federal highway safety dollars related to work zones in order to try and provide a more safe work zone that's out there. And two things that came up during testimony is what's happened in other locations. In the state of Illinois, when they employed photo radar in work zones, they saw 75% reduction in fatalities in a particular set of work zones where they put this measure in. And secondly, in the state of Arizona, when they used this, the average vehicle speed through the work zones reduced by 10 miles an hour. So the two locations that are using this ahead of the state of Oregon, both have seen positive in reduction of fatalities as well as in traveling speed through the work zone. And with that, Mr. Chair, I'd be more than happy to answer any questions.
Questions from the committee? Senator Avakian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Have any of you had a chance to see the dash nines? And could you give a comment on your agreement? And if you disagree, why?
Mr. Chair and Senator Avakian, did have a chance to look at the A9s, and as was presented in the earlier testimony, this fixes a disconnect between authorization to run the program and the citation, and would clear up confusion, and we're in agreement that the A9 does adequately address that particular need.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions? I have some questions.
Is there a fiscal involved in this pilot project? And if could you... In just addressing that issue, could you talk about the scope of the pilot project?
Mr. Chair, in relationship to the fiscal, there is no fiscal because we currently have federal highway safety dollars going towards work zone enforcement for equipment and for personnel time. Okay. So it would be a matter of changing what we're using those monies for. There's no new monies, no new expenses. This would change that. In relationship to the scope of how this would operate, we would want to make sure that wherever we place this, it's going to be adequately informed to the general public through the area, that we have adequately trained law enforcement, that the equipment that we have is the correct equipment, be following all of the settings that are in statute in relationship to sign. And if we're not going to go into this slow, fast and in any sloppy manner, because we want to make sure when we do this pilot project, it has the ability to stand on its own and comes back to you to prove that your trust in ODOT and law enforcement agencies, that when we do this, we're doing it right and it's making a difference. We don't have the intention at all of setting something up that this has become a speed trap or some other way that ends up causing a burden on the courts or something out of compliance with state law.
How are you to select your partners? Yeah, I notice you've got... state enforcement and city enforcement. What about county partners?
Mr. Chair, there are currently a set list of cities that are allowed to operate photo radar, which this bill would extend by three more cities. That's the only people that we're allowed to work with is current authorized cities.
I appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
And which jurisdiction, so you'd cite to the city jurisdictions?
Mr. Chair, it will depend upon somewhat the location and the jurisdiction of the court. It could be justice, municipal, or state court depending upon where you're at. So, for instance, if this was a situation of City of Portland or Oregon State Police within the bounds of the City of Portland, it would go to the Multnomah County Circuit Court. Depending upon where they are, so this is non-interstate, so it's going to be state highways. You may have situations where it could end up going into a justice or municipal court. That just depends on the reach of the courts and the agreements within that area that the courts have with each other.
Okay. Further questions from the committee? Okay. Any other persons here present that wish to give testimony on House Bill 2466 or the amendment? Okay. I'm going to close the public hearing, but I think we are expected to move this bill. So we are in work session, and the chair would accept a motion.
Are we in work session right now?
No, we're not.
Okay.
No.
Well, then we'll open the work session on this bill, 2466.
I have a question of the chair.
Question.
While we move.
Of the procedural question.
Yes.
Is in order.
Thank you. Senator. I think it was the chair, the other chair's intent to move the bill. I just want to make sure we have enough votes to move the bill before we move.
Always
the
a good question. I assume that there are enough votes.
I will be a yes vote. And
well, thank you for telegraphing that.
I always appreciate it. And I'm very glad to help. And as long as the current chair is, then I have no other procedural motions.
I appreciate your deep concern, Senator. I believe you were about to make a motion, Senator.
I was.
Alex Anderson is recognized.
Are you going to be a yes vote?
Madam Chair, the good chairman of the committee entrusted me to conduct this hearing, and I shall do that.
Excellent. Thank you. Mr. Chair, I move the dash A9 amendments to House Bill 2466.
The dash A9 amendments have been moved to House Bill 2466. Are there objections? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2466 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Montes Anderson moves House Bill 2466 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Any questions on the motion? Objections to the motion? Let one objection be noted for the record that Senator Cruz objects to the motion. Are there other objections? Let us call the roll.
Senator Abakian.
Aye.
Senator Cruz.
No.
Senator Montes Anderson.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. This bill will move to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and the carrier will be named by the chair. And a vote explanation by the chairman. I have hated this bill and carried the first bill on the Senate floor years ago, and I voted for this bill every time it's come up. Still hate the bill. I hate the fact that we need it. That's the problem with this bill. But let us move on. Close the work session on 2466, and we'll open a public hearing and work session on SCR 17. And may I please have a panel of those that are in favor of SCR 17 come forward. We have obviously three folks, Mr. Pernsteiner, Lindsay DeRockers, and Angela Wyka. Please come forward.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, SCR 17 honors Dan Bernstein, president of the Portland State University, for his leadership of Portland State University and his service to Oregon from 1997 to 2007.
And Mr. Chair, if I might say, if there's anybody opposed to this resolution, which I doubt if there is, they're invited to leave the room now.
Ooh, the gauntlet is down. And who would like to proceed to begin to introduce this good resolution?
All right. My name is Angela Wyckoff, and I'm president of the Portland State University Alumni Association. And I was a student of PSU in the 1970s and graduated in 1980 with degrees in mathematics and engineering. After graduation, I was not able to participate in alumni activities because of a heavy travel schedule as an engineer at Bonneville Power Administration. In 2002, when I was able to spend more time with volunteer activities, I was appointed to the PSU Alumni Association. And in order to become reacquainted with the university, I toured the campus and was amazed at the changes. There was a noticeable vitality and energy on the campus, and in every department, faculty and students were making outstanding accomplishments. Portland State University was becoming nationally recognized in many areas, and there was an air of optimism and the feeling of moving forward. The PSU Alumni Association was also feeling this energy and was, and still is, in the process of expanding its role. In the last few years, there have been successful alumni meetings in various places in the United States, as well as in Japan, Thailand, and in various locations in the Persian Gulf. All of these activities that expanded the improved role of the university are due to the inspirational leadership of our president, Dr. Daniel Bernstein. He not only supported creativity and risk in the academic departments, but also was very supportive of alumni activities. He made things happen and was out in the public promoting Portland State University. We'll miss Dan and wish him the best of luck in his new appointment with the Law School Admission Council, and hope he has more time to play golf.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Yes, for the record, my name is Lindsay DeRoche. I'm the Vice President for Finance and Administration at Portland State, and therefore I work for Dan Bernstein, and so know him pretty well. Also, George Bernsteiner used to do that, and he's going to comment as well. I'm just here to urge the committee and the legislature to vote this honor for this really, truly great individual. The accomplishments are truly very, very many. The institution has grown enormously, but it has also improved in the quality of its programs. The campus has developed to a much greater degree than it was before his tenure, following through with the university district plan. He's successfully launched our first capital campaign. There are just many more accomplishments I could list, but I want to make a comment about the type of leadership that this individual has brought to this important state institution, the humanity of the man. This is an individual whose leadership is quiet. It has a quiet edge, but almost everyone who meets and interacts with Dan feels that sense of humanitarianism in him and his true sense of desire to be good to each individual and to make these institutions work in a way that is humanitarian. I personally have experienced that. Interestingly enough, a number of years ago, I competed with Dan for the position that he has. And at the time, I was not at this institution. But he was selected for the role, and he took on the role. And many years later, when, as it turned out, I applied for the position of vice president at Portland State, Dan, in a true Dan fashion, decided to just say, this is good for the institution, I'm going to hire this lady, even though we competed for a previous institution. And we've become the best of friends and the best of colleagues, and he has provided great service through this really, truly humble and good leadership quality that he's had for Portland State. So I really urge the legislature to recognize that kind of leadership. Thank you.
Thank you. Bill Sheed, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, for the record, George Bernsteiner, Chancellor of the Oregon University System, former employee of Dan Bernstein, and current supervisor of Dan Bernstein. I thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today about SCR 17, at which you will be recognizing his many contributions to the state and to the Oregon University System. And, of course, it gets me out of having to write his performance appraisal this year, for which I thank you very much. Senator Farioli, you said in the very first testimony this afternoon that if the real story isn't interesting, you can tell the other story. Well, in this case, the real story is interesting enough, I don't have to tell another story. Dan Bernstein came to Portland State University in 1997. Enrollment at the institution was 14,000 students, generated about 2,400 degrees a year, and had about $15 million, $14 million of funded research. 10 years later, with enrollment almost at 25,000, with more than 5,000 degrees to be awarded this year, mostly to Oregon residents, with the engagement in the community with hundreds of community partnerships, with research now topping $35 to $40 million, with construction of a variety of new academic buildings and the renovation of some important landmarks in Portland, with the partnerships which he has built throughout the community, with businesses, with community organizations, with other universities, and with the community college system in a way that allows for the seamless integration of curricula across all the community colleges within the region, Portland region, and Portland State University. And yes, for what he has developed at Portland State, a self-confidence and a swagger that wasn't there 10 years ago. That's the story. It's a story of vision, of steadfastness, and of very quiet leadership. The role of universities is to transform lives and to transform the state. And I would argue that Dan Bernstein has done an exemplary job of that in his 10 years, increasing not just the reputation of the institution, but transforming the lives of more than 30,000 Oregonians forever by leading them through their studies to their degrees. And I urge you to pass SCR 17. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Questions for the committee? I met Dan frequently in his mission for the university, and he was quite an ambassador. Had a unique ability to reach out across any gulf imaginable. What a warm person. Mm-hmm. And I think he would be extremely pleased by the notion that we chose to honor the pig mice before we undertook the Senate concurrent resolution honoring his service to Oregonians at Portland State University. I think that would, he'd get a smile.
He would. Mm-hmm.
He'd see the appropriateness of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd tickle him. Members of the committee, any comments? Senator Cruz.
Yeah, thank you, Ms. Chair. I guess the last two conversations I had with Dr. Bernstein outside of this building were, I think the last one was at the Pacific Rim Summit, the last one which he attended, which was a very relaxed atmosphere. And the one before that was at the Portland State-Oregon football game, in which Portland State did not fare very well. But you know, the grace and dignity of the man were always apparent, and I think he was a great ambassador for the university. Mm-hmm. And you're right, he will be sorely missed. I mean, he's just an exemplary individual. It's mm-hmm. been an honor to get to know him over the years.
Hello.
Hello.
Sorry, I missed you. Okay. Another meeting. We're trying to close the session down.
I'm ready.
You're ready?
Yeah.
Madam Chair, we are at a place where the testimony is of record, and the members are ready to move.
Great.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate
you
joining
thank you.
This afternoon.
We are in work session.
Oh, we are?
We are.
Oh, great. Okay.
I would move Senate Concurrent Resolution 17.
Senator Farrelly has moved Senate Concurrent Resolution 17. I assume there are no amendments. Any discussion?
Did they wrote this one right at a pair.
Oh, thank you, Senator Cruz. Just keep rubbing it in. Any objections? Hearing, seeing none? So ordered. Who would like to carry?
Did you need it before?
Yeah. Did I not? What did I just do?
Oh, I'm sorry.
What did I do?
Nothing. I'm focused on amendments. Sorry.
Okay. All right. I think I moved it to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And I didn't see any objection. Motion carried.
And I'm certain that there are members of the Senate whose jurisdiction in which Portland State University.
Oh, that's very generous of you. That's probably the good Senator Burdick, so let's give it to her.
And, Madam Chair, I would be willing to bet that there might be those that would like to co-carry that.
Whoever would like to co-carry, I'm sure will let them. Did you want to take
that? I'm sure they
chair, but I
are you are you bleeding? What color do you bleed?
I bleed red, white, and blue, Madam Chair.
Okay. All right. We'll find co-carriers. I think that is it. We will have a Friday afternoon session with a number of bills. But other than that, I'm hoping to avoid Friday afternoons.
Is that the next Friday?
Next Friday, too?
Executive
appointments. We have the Friday from you-know-where.
And then after that, we'll be sunny die.
Hopefully, yeah. We'll be on the sunny die track. So on that very, very happy note, we are adjourned. Thanks, guys.